is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
It's sure to be a sizzling summer on country radio, that is, with the hot new single from Blind River called Ready, Set, Summer. The Ontario group is made up of Kevin Bushy, Kirk Bernard, and Steve Petrie. Their live shows are fast-paced and exciting, but they've managed to take some time away from the stage to spend time in the recording studio working on their upcoming album. From the group Blind River, it's my pleasure to welcome Kevin Bushy to the show. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are things there in Hamilton?
Very hot today.
Over here in the Barrie area, too. We're getting this hot summer weather, aren't we?
You know what? I'm not complaining one bit because it was a long, cold winter. And, it's ready to get, you know, our summertime on for sure.
Definitely. And on that summer theme, of course, a Ready, Set, Summer. This single is getting a lot of radio play, and a lot of people are really liking it. Can you tell us how that feels? I know that you guys have been a band for, I think, about 5 years to have this success hit radio now. What does that feel like?
It's a pretty surreal experience, honestly. I mean, you know, we've talked about recording for 5 years now since the band's inception, more or less, and we thought we had a pretty cool thing as far as a band goes and a really good vibe, and we had great chemistry. And you know, so we've talked about recording for so long, and we've been doing demos for so many years, and now it just came to the point that, you know, we thought that we had a pretty good rapport of songs and whatnot, and it was just time that we sat down and said, okay, guys, well, if we're going to do it, let's stop talking about it and actually get in the studio and let's get this done. So the first stage of the whole process was, after we had selected some songs, was to sit down and try and figure out who we were going to get to produce it. And I approached Jason Barrie, who's been around country music in Canada for quite a few years. I really love the stuff that Jason has done on radio with Terry Clark and Jason Blaine and Shane Yellowbird. And he's got some great credentials. He's a super great guy, and he's multi-talented guy in the studio. So I definitely trusted what he did. And we approached him. I sat down with him, and I ran through all the songs with him. And, you know, he's been a good buddy of mine for the last couple of years, too. So he gave me his honest opinion on a lot of stuff, which I thoroughly respected. And we narrowed down six songs. And Ready, Set, Summer was the first one right out of the gate that we said, you know what, this would be a great leadoff track leading into summertime. And here it sits.
Very cool. And we're going to talk more about the song, Kevin. I wanted to ask you, with Jason, did he help you overcome any hurdles of going into the studio? You guys are so used to being on stage and doing the live stuff. Was there anything he helped you with as far as getting it right in the recording studio?
Yeah, his whole approach in the studio was real. You know, he's not one of the producers that looks at the clock. You know, he's more concerned with capturing, you know, great tracks from each of the musicians on the track itself. So he wasn't looking at a clock, and he was more or less concerned with, you know, let's capture the best moments we can for each individual song. And then what he did with me, I mean, I was quite nervous going into the studio with him because he has had a lot of charting success with the other artists that he's worked with. And, you know, he really worked with me vocally, and it was a really great, surreal experience because he brought the best out of me vocally that he could on each of the tracks and gave me, you know, a huge comfort level within that studio process, which made me, you know, sing the best I possibly could on this song.
Great. Now, Kevin, can you take us back to the formation of the group? You mentioned about 5 years ago. How did you guys, Kevin, Kirk, and Steve, all come together to start Blind River?
Me and Kirk, we played in a band at one point, a local band that's been playing around Hamilton in Southern Ontario for about 10 years called the Bareback Riders. And, you know, we both of us did a little tenure. Kirk was one of the singers there. And then Kirk had left, and he joined South Mountain at the time. And then Bareback Riders brought in Corey Gallant. And then I met the Bareback Riders almost 10 years ago now, or 8 years ago. Colin and Joe and those guys and Chris, and we all became really good friends, and then I started playing with them, sitting in with them, and it just kind of evolved from there. And at one point I was like, okay, well, we needed to I've always wanted to start my own country band, because I kind of grew up playing the rock circuit years ago back in the early 80s and late 80s and early 90s and whatnot. So when Kirk came back, he had some time on his hands. South Mountain wasn't touring as much. So we decided to put Blind River together. And Kirk recruited Jay Reel, who's been around the country circuit for a very long time with Jim Witter and Farmer's Daughter and bands like that. And so we recruited Jay on drums, and then Steve Petrie was kicking around, and we got Stevie in the band, and next thing you know, the four of us were out, we're playing the clubs, and things just kind of click with us. You know, we all became great, great, great best friends, and we all always had a great time. I mean, there's never been one single fight in this band, which is ironic for four guys that have, you know, kind of got very strong opinions on things, right? But no, we've became four of the best friends that anybody could ever ask for, and it just the band just started blossoming from there, and we started playing the club circuit, and we started to get a pretty good following, and people were really liking what we were doing live as far as the cover thing goes. So everything just kind of morphed into the current project, into what we're doing right now.
Very cool. Now, it sounds like, am I missing when I introduced the group? Is Jay Reel, is he the fourth member?
He was. Jay recently moved down to Nashville, Tennessee. He moved down there a year ago, April. He's currently playing with a Canadian artist by the name of Marley Scott. So he's down. Yeah, he's down with Marley, and he's her drummer and whatnot. So he had to move down there because Marley's based out of Nashville now. But Jay's still, you know, he's still best friends. Actually, I talk to more Jay now on Skype that he's in Nashville than I did when he lived in Stratford. So, it's been a pretty cool thing. But Jay's going to be singing some backgrounds on the record as well. And, you know, he's still involved in some of our stuff as well. But our live shows right now consist of, we use a couple of different drummers. Mike Schotten, who's a very good friend of mine from Burlington. He was the drummer on all the tracks for the record. And then we also use by a gentleman by the name of Todd Gibbons, who's doing some of our live shows for us as well.
Okay. Now, as far as the overall sound, there's three of you in the group now. Do you all have similar kind of backgrounds, influences, that it's easy to come up with the same sound, or do you bring something different to the group, each of you?
I think each one of us has a little bit something different to offer. All three of us were all raised on classic country. Kirk, our bass player, I mean, he's one of the most genuine classic country singers I've ever heard in my life. He's a great singer with a great voice, and the guy can sing harmony to anybody. He was raised on the old classic country throughout the years, and he played a lot of that stuff coming up on the country circuit years ago with his band Kodiak, which him and Stevie started, back in the late 80s, I think. And so they played around Southern Ontario and whatnot for years and years. And Steve was the same way. Steve started playing, I believe, at four. He played in his father's band around town here in Hamilton. And Steve's one of those multi-instrumentalists. He can play the fiddle, the banjo, the guitar, the steel, you know, just bass, everything. So Steve is very, very talented. And then myself, I grew up listening to classic country. My mom and dad are both from the East Coast. So, of course, as an East Coaster, you're raised on country music. And then I kind of started out on the rock circuit. I mean, my biggest influences were bands like the Eagles and stuff like that growing up. And then, you know, I've always had my country roots, but it's kind of funny. I grew up listening to the Eagles and bands like that, yet my very first concert that I ever saw in my life was Conway Twitty at Hamilton Place with Carole Baker years ago.
Awesome. I love Conway and Carole. Wow.
Conway was my ultimate favorite. He still is my ultimate favorite. He was, I'll never forget it, sitting up in the balcony with my mom and dad and Conway coming out on stage, and he had all the rhinestones and just the lights hitting his rhinestones, and the glitter just completely blew me away. And I'd be like, man, it would be cool to be that guy right now on stage. And that was actually my first real taste. Yeah, for sure.
Isn't that amazing? I've seen Conway in concert, you know, back in the day when he was doing so well. And, I mean, he had so many great songs over the years, didn't he? He covered all the eras, and he stayed modern right up till his passing. Songs like That's My Job, such a moving song.
Yeah, he was just one of those guys. He had, like, one of the greatest voices in country music. He could do a duet with anybody, but he was always great at selecting the right songs and turning every song into gold. And you know, the stories that he would tell in his songs. And I remember I saw an interview with him on YouTube. I forget who was interviewing him, but it's like someone's asked him, it's like, Conway, you don't really talk too much at your concerts. And his reply was like, listen, people are here to hear me sing, not me babble on about nothing. So it's just like, man, that was pretty cool, you know, just for him just to, you know, blurt that out, that people are there to hear him sing, not talk. It was kind of cool, I thought.
That is very cool. I remember that kind of quote from him too. We just stuck to the songs. Great artist. Now the group performing live, I was reading up on it, and you guys, a lot of energy at your shows. Is that sort of your favorite part of all this, getting up in front of the crowd and performing the songs?
Absolutely. I mean, we've always been known as a live band. One of the great, you know, compliments that we get from a lot of people that see us doing the cover thing or whatever is we've been told numerous times that, you know, we tend to take whatever cover song we're playing and make it our own. And, you know, when somebody comes up to you and gives you that great of a compliment, you know you're onto something pretty cool. You know, as long as you don't train wreck the song. But, we've just always had the approach that, you know, we want our shows to be really fun. And you know, when people come to see us and, you know, we do a couple of crazy antics, especially if someone is celebrating a birthday in the crowd or a bachelorette party or whatever the case may be, we make sure that we embarrass them pretty good. And it's all about, you know, leaving the crowd with something that they're going to remember at the end of the night, like whether it be, you know, whether we're just doing our cover show or whether we're, you know, going to be doing our live original show as a recording artist, whatever. But it's all about getting them involved and making them feel a part of the show. And you definitely, any artist will tell you that when the crowd is into your show, you know, you feed off of that. And that's just something that, you know, no drug or no amount of alcohol could ever give you a high enough on. That's a natural high that just comes, and you can't explain it until you actually experience it yourself, for sure.
And do you have a chance afterwards to have the fans come up and let you know about the performance, maybe songs that particularly meant something to them?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's crazy. The way that people will approach you and, you know, compliment you on the way that you did a certain song and maybe the arrangement or the harmony that you guys added to it, that, you know, you guys kind of, again, it just goes back to that. You guys take every single cover song you do and you make it your own. And, you know, for us, that's the biggest compliment anybody can pay. And when they do that, it's kind of like, you know, we're just four guys that are just, you know, we just love playing music together. And if we get, you know, a compliment from somebody that we're able to, you know, strike a really good positive chord with them on a song that we do, then that makes it all worthwhile, absolutely, every single time.
I'm speaking with Kevin Bushy of the group Blind River, their current single, Ready, Set, Summer, which we're going to hear in just a few moments. What are some of those cover songs you do sing, Kevin? Can you let us in on that, maybe some of the ones we might expect and anything kind of unusual?
We do everything from Folsom Prison to, we'll throw in some Merle Haggard, Tonight the Bottle. We'll do, you know, Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond, for example.
Nice.
We throw some Dierks Bentley in there. We throw, you know, some Eagles in there. We throw a little bit of Big and Rich. We throw some Bryan Adams. And we've got quite a few Keith Urban covers that we do as well. So, we mix it up. You know, we've got a lot of the old standards that people love singing to. Like, our second and third sets are kind of geared to, you know, crowd participation songs. So, you know, the Sweet Carolines where you get the crowd singing, or the Summer of 69s or stuff like that where the crowd will really start to sing and get really heavily involved in it. So, yeah, those are the things that we love to be able to pull out and get the crowd involved in, for sure.
Very cool. Well, Kevin, let's turn to the song Ready, Set, Summer that's getting all the great airplay at radio. And tell me a bit about choosing the song. You were mentioning before we went on air, written by Bruce Wallace and Stephen Lee Olson, a couple of great writers. And you're going to talk a bit later about writing with Bruce. But maybe when you first heard the song, did it just jump at you then?
It's kind of interesting because when I was pitched the song by Denny Carr down at Rooster 3 Publishing in Nashville when I was there in last November, and it was he sent me a bunch of songs over. I think he sent me 7 or 8 songs, and we listened to this one. And I listened to this one at first, and it was kind of like, yeah, it's kind of cool. And then I moved on, and there was actually 3 songs ahead of this one that I really liked. And I sent this one to Kirk and Stevie, and I said, hey, guys, you know, let me know what you think. And nobody kind of jumped out of the chute right away with it, right? So, and it's kind of like, it was just one of them things that I got to go back and I got to listen to it again. So I went back 3 or 4 more times and I kept listening to it over, you know, 2 or 3 week process. And then the more that I started to listen to it, I started to envision us playing it as our band. And then I just finally went to the guys and I said, guys, think about this, like, really give this song, we need to demo this song. Even if it doesn't make the record, we need to demo it because I can hear a lot of things. I said, and if we do this at the right time and release this song as a single potentially at the right time, I said, this could be a really cool thing. So, you know, we did. We ended up demoing it. We got in the studio with it. I sat down, and what I did was kind of leading up to the record is is we had 22 songs that we narrowed it down to. And then from those 22, I narrowed it down to 14 songs. And I sat with about 50 different people from all walks of life and some program directors, some on-air people, and just regular country music fans. And I let them listen to all the songs. And then I had them select which songs they would select to be on the record. And Ready, Set, Summer was that one song. There were two songs that scored 100% with everybody. Ready, Set, Summer was one of them. And it was just like, and I only wanted to do that just for my own curiosity's sake, because it's like, I like to get different opinions. And I mean, I've been in the business a long time too, but we don't know everything about the business because it's changing so much. So with Ready, Set, Summer, I had a really good feeling about it. The more and more I listened to it, then when I sat and let people listen to it, when I saw the 100% score, it's like, okay, guys, we definitely got something here. We went in to record it. I sat down with Jason. I said, Jason, what do you think of the song? Jason loved it. Jason, we rearranged it, and we recorded it. Jason produced it, and this is the end result of it. And we are super proud of this song. And we just got to hear it on air the other day on radio, me and Stevie, for the first time, and it's been out for over 4 weeks. And I just heard it on the radio the other day for the first time, but... Yeah, it was written by Bruce Wallace and Stephen Lee Olson, and Stephen Lee's from up and around that area, and everybody knows the Olson family, and they just wrote a fantastically amazing song,
Awesome. Well, that's great. Let's share that now, Kevin. This is Blind River and the hot new summer song, Ready, Set, Summer, here on In the Country.
Song, here we go. Come on.
Ready, Set, Summer, that is Blind River. And I'm joined by Kevin Bushy on the line from Hamilton. Their website is blindriverband.ca. Great website. You can check out lots of information about them there. Kevin, it must be something to have dedicated fans like you have. And you probably had some of them that have followed you over the last 5 years and are really excited for the stage you've gotten to.
It's been really, really great to see that, you know, all these people have stuck around, you know, for so long and have listened to us kind of go off the cuff every time about, you know, we're recording, and here it is 4 years later, and we're still recording. And, you know, it's just one of the greatest things about country music is that, you know, the fans are so loyal and dedicated. We gain new fans all the time, but the fans that have been with us since day one that saw us in the clubs, and, you know, obviously we still do a lot of great club shows and whatnot. Just to see them here and they want to become part of the team, you know what I mean? Like, especially now with Facebook and all the social networking, and it's like, you know, people repost things on their page about the single being available on iTunes or the records coming out or whatever the case may be. It blows my mind just to see the level of dedication that these people have. And you can't pay for that kind of loyalty and dedication, like, honestly. And the guys, we talk about it all the time, just, you know, just how lucky we are to have such a really great fan base and the ones that have been with us since day one and the new ones that come on board now, man. There's no greater feeling in the world, for sure.
Now, you guys, over the last several years, have had the chance to open up for some pretty big names. Can you talk about some of those experiences, and what's it like getting there in front of the crowds that are so big with these other artists?
It's we've played with Amanda Wilkinson, Derek Rattan, Aaron Lines. We actually, Julian Austin hired us a couple of years ago to be his backing band for an Ontario tour that he did. And so we got to go out with him for a while, and it's the crowds, again, have just been great. And I mean, anytime you get to put yourself in front of established recording stars in this country, I mean, it's always a great positive experience. And it's just this is the greatest business to be in. I mean, I wake up every single day, and I'm very fortunate to be surrounded and associated with the people that I am. And, you know, just the mere fact of, you know, being able to share a stage with some of the great Canadian talent that we have in this country is truly an honor. And we look forward to, you know, given the opportunity to be able to do it again as recording artists, hitting the next level for sure down the road.
Now, this is a question I'll throw to you, Kevin. You can answer on behalf of the band. Is there another group out there from country, or let's even cross genres if necessary, that you guys would, in a dream situation, love to share the stage with? You know, maybe exchange each other's songs?
Wow, that's a pretty wild question. I mean, there is so much there's so much great talent out there. I'd love to do a show with, you know, right in Canada, Canadian artists. I mean, yep. Probably Doc Walker, for sure, Doc.
Nice.
As far as the U.S. artists go, I think that it would be an interesting scenario for us to be able to do a show with someone of the likes of Keith Urban, for example.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, that guy is just, anybody who's seen him live, seen his show live, knows that he is the real deal, and his live show is just second to none. But there's so many great acts, especially in this country. I mean, I promote Canadian country music any chance we get, just because there is so much raw talent in this country that is yet to be discovered. And, you know, with the likes of, you know, guys like Marshall Dane coming up and Stacey Ziegers.
Oh, yeah.
And just there's so many artists that are coming out that people don't know. And for independent acts such as ourselves and everybody else that's out there slugging it out, I mean, people don't understand and know the process of how difficult it is to, you know, get your song on radio. And it's hard enough getting it on radio. And then it's, you know, the second stage is getting airplay. And it's like, you know, these artists and songwriters and all that, they work their butts off out there and tour and relentlessly tour for no money just to get their name out there and established. So, you know, but you have to love it. I mean, that's just the other thing. You have to love it and you have to be passionate about it for sure. So, I love this country and I love what this country has to offer music-wise for sure.
Definitely. And as you mentioned, you've got to love doing it, and that'll keep you at it through the times that are a little tough, of course. And then you've got to have a great team surrounding you, and I know you've got a great team, including Lauren Tutte, who is a familiar name to the show, and she, of course, booked you on today's show. Talk about working with someone like her and just a positive experience that can be.
Lauren has been absolutely phenomenal. It's kind of funny because I knew of Lauren. Lauren was recommended to me by a friend of mine, Mark Watson, who's John Landry's manager. And so we got to talking back and forth, and Mark hired Lauren to track John's first single, Everybody Wants to Be a Redneck. And yep. Mark absolutely loved the reports and then the rapport that he had established with Lauren and whatnot. So I called Lauren up, and it's funny because me and Lauren have been in the same rooms at various CCMAs over the last 5 or 6 years, but we've never met. But wow. It's kind of funny because when we started talking, and it's like, and then I told her everybody that I work with and who I've worked with, and it's like, you know, I'm almost positive we've probably bumped into one another at some point and rubbed elbows or whatever the case may be. But yeah, we started talking. I think the first night that I talked to her, we were on the phone for about an hour and a half. And we were just talking about music. We just talked about music. We talked about the industry. And I've got just a very, very, after that conversation, I just felt that I've known her for 10 years. And, you know, I'm one of those people that I like to be able to trust the people that I work with. And I'm all about, you know, surrounding myself with really great people, honest people, and, you know, people that work just as hard as we do at obtaining our goals. So I got a really great vibe from Lauren, and I, you know, got off the phone with her and knew that I could trust her right away. And I knew that she would do, you know, a great job because, I mean, it's again, it's as an independent act when you're unknown, nobody knows who you are. You know, you're just another single at radio to a lot of people, right? So they may not put the time or the effort in, even though you pay them an amount of money to do so. But some tend to not put the effort in as if you were a recognized name. Lauren has been absolutely instrumental in getting us, you know, I think we were added to 45 radio stations in 4 weeks, which is
amazing.
Pretty phenomenal for an independent act coming out that nobody even knows. And so, yeah, so Lauren, I mean, I thank my stars every day for Lauren, and we're definitely going to be using her on the second single as well because she's done an absolutely fantastic job for us.
Awesome. Well, I wanted to shift gears here for a moment and spend some time focusing on songwriting. Kevin, I know that's a big passion of yours, and you've had a couple of cuts recorded stuff you've co-written with John Landry and Stacey Ziggers, names that we know here in Canada, great artists. Can you take us back to when you first started songwriting? Does it go back a while?
Yeah, actually, I wrote my first song when I was 12 years old. My brother and sister-in-law were getting married, and I actually wrote a song for their wedding that I wrote and performed at their wedding at 12, the age of 12.
Wow.
My sister-in-law, actually, she has the lyrics of the song that I wrote, and she had it all laminated, and it's in a frame on her wall. And they got married in 82, I believe it was. So I think that was definitely one of the first songs that I wrote and actually performed.
Amazing.
But songwriting to me has always been one of them things that I've never been really great at or good at. So I just keep, you know, it's kind of like one of the things you just keep doing it over and over again. And then when I had the ability to sit down with different writers and start to co-write is really when I found that, you know, the creativity really starts to blossom because as being as a songwriter, I mean, I could only take a song or an idea so far, and then I'd hit a wall with it, and it would be like, and then
okay.
I get myself really, really frustrated, and I'm like, oh, I can't bring this out. Now, when you sit down with somebody and you bounce this idea off them, you know, they bring on a whole different perspective of the song itself, and the song just kind of grows and morphs into something that you envision eventually. So the whole co-writing process for me was really great, and one of the first opportunities that I had to write with an established artist was John Landry. We sat down and we wrote a song called Set Him Up for his Change in Man record. I think we wrote that about 3 or 4 years ago, and he was one of the guys that he was one of the first, you know, established songwriters that I had the ability to sit down with and write. And as far as getting a cut on the record, prior to that, I had the opportunity to sit down with Gil Grand 5 or 6 years ago, and we wrote a song while he was in town doing a benefit concert. So me and Gil became pretty good buddies as well, and we always try to hook up and write whenever I'm down in Nashville or what he's up in Ontario. But yeah, and it just became one of those things that it was just like, okay, this is now I understand the process a little bit more. And then having the ability to tour with guys, you know, like Chris David Murray from Doc, and watching them songwrite, it becomes a very, very inspirational element as to what you do. And I'm like a sponge. I always love to sit down with these writers and talk to them and go through different ideas with them and whatnot. And to me, it's just, that's the way you grow as a songwriter. And I mean, I've got a long way to go. for sure as a songwriter, but you know, I love sitting down and being a sponge at every opportunity and learning from some of the best. And I'm very lucky because I get to do that on a regular basis, which is really cool.
Now, talk to us about writing with Bruce Wallace down in Nashville and what that experience was like. Before we came on air, you were saying a bit of intimidation there as far as knowing he's such a great writer and a little nervous starting off.
Oh, I was. Are you kidding me? I was nervous. It was an understatement. I met Bruce Wallace a few years back at the CCMAs. I think it was in Vancouver when I first met Bruce. And I knew him through the Doc guys and whatnot. But I was down in Nashville last November, and I was down there for a month and just having meetings and meeting with different publishers and whatnot. And a mutual friend of mine, Bruce's, we ended up going out for – we went to see a couple of bands on Broadway one night. And so me and Bruce were hanging out. We probably went out five or six times just hung out with our buddies and had a great time. And, you know, we laughed and we talked and, you know, it was all kinds of fun stuff. And then one night we were sitting at Doc Holliday's in Nashville, just off of Printer's Alley there. And so he had a cancellation with him on the 29th. So he was just, you know, we were sitting there having a beer and he's like, oh, he goes, ah, my writing appointment just canceled on me the 29th. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, you know, I said, hey, man, would you mind sitting down with me at one point? I said, you know, I got a couple of ideas or whatever. I said, you know, would you be interested? And Bruce was like, sure, absolutely. Well, what was funny is I was scheduled to leave on the 21st. And so I went back to my buddy Jay's place, who lived there now,
yeah. And
I phoned and changed my flight to December 2nd. So I stayed an extra week just in order to be able to write with Bruce. So I remember going in, I met him that afternoon at 1 o'clock on the 29th, and I remember getting up in the morning, and I was staying with Jay, and I got up, and we were having a coffee, and I was pretty quiet that day, and Jay says to me, he goes, you see, are you right? Like, you're pretty quiet. I go, dude, I go, I'm a little nervous, man. I go, I'm writing with Bruce Wallace at 1 o'clock today. And he's like, oh, he goes, you know, don't be nervous or don't be, you know. I said, listen, man, I go, like, I'm not an accomplished writer. I go, Bruce is pretty accomplished or whatever. So anyway, make a long story short. So I jump in the shower and I had this song hit me. This melody just hits me. And I don't know where it came from. It just came out of the blue. I jumped out of the shower. The shower's still running. Threw a towel around myself. Ran out to the living room. Grabbed my BlackBerry. And Jay just kind of looked at me and goes, what are you doing? I go, got a song idea. Ran back into the shower and into the bathroom. And I hit record on my BlackBerry. And I recorded this melody that I had in my head. So I finished up in the shower. Came back out. Got dressed. Sat down with an acoustic. And I started to work out the chorus. So all I had to – I had a working title called Linger. And I just started working out the chorus. And that's all I had for this song. Go in. Meet Bruce at 1 o'clock. We started talking a little bit, and we finally got we were in Denny Carr's office, and Denny, we're getting ready to leave, and Denny says, okay, guys, go write me a good rowdy song today. So we start leaving his office, and already Bruce is working on this. He's already working on this melody line called Rowdy as we're going down the stairs into the writing room. So
wow.
I'm like, oh, here we go. Okay, great. So anyway, we sit down in the writing room. We bang out this song called Rowdy within an hour and a half. It's a really cool song. And so we're sitting there, and Bruce looks at me and goes, all right, man, so what else you want to work on? And I'm like, oh, boy. Okay, here we go. I said, okay, Bruce, I go, listen, this is an idea that just came to me this morning. I said, I don't know where it's going. I go, but the working title is Linger. I said, I don't know if it's about a girl or if it's about passing gas at this point. I said, I really don't know. But I said, you know, this is what it is. So I started playing it for him. And he just kind of looked at me, and he goes, all right, then. And it was just like we just started banging the song out, Linger. We started working on the first verse. The chorus came, and then it was by that time it was like 5:30. He says, you know what? Let's leave it. He goes, what are you doing tomorrow? And I says, well, I'm really nothing. So he goes, come on back tomorrow. Let's finish it. So, yeah, we ended up going out for – we went out for dinner right after that, and he was really excited about this song, and I'm like going – wow, this is Bruce Wallace. He's sitting there. The guy's getting interested in a song idea that we just worked on. Like, it's pretty cool. So I'm like, I'm pretty flabbergasted, to say the least, on it. So then, yeah, we went back the next day, and we finished off the song. The song's called Linger. And it's going to be on – it'll be on the Blind River record. And it's probably one of the most proudest moments I've ever had as a songwriter, knowing that, you know, you pitched this idea to somebody that of this song that you had, and he didn't go, oh, man, that's horrible. What's wrong with you? We took it and embraced it and then created a song out of it. So, yeah, for me, that was probably one of the – that song will probably go down, you know, in my books anyways, as one of my most favorite songs today.
What a great accomplishment and something to be so proud of. And obviously it gave you confidence in your writing the next time, whether you write with Bruce or whoever, you got more confidence about it.
Absolutely. I mean, and everything is all, you know, driven around confidence. And it's kind of like, okay, yeah. So, you know, maybe your idea isn't that bad. I mean, as a songwriter, anybody will tell you that you go through good ideas and you go through really bad ideas. And then you've got those ideas that you think are good and then you bring them to somebody else and they go, what were you thinking when you thought of that? But you know what? It all starts with an idea. Every song starts with an idea, and then it goes from there. So
yeah, you never know the idea you start. Yeah, the idea you start off with, it may not be that great, but it could lead to, once you start brainstorming, a great idea. So you can't throw anything out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Kevin, let's turn now to another song we're going to debut here from Blind River. I'll Be Your Everything. Can you tell us about this? It's going to be on the album, although with a little more finishing touches on it.
Yeah, that one, I gave you the rough draft of that one. But yeah, I'll Be Your Everything was a song that I wrote 4 years ago, 5 years ago, maybe. It's probably about 4 or 5 years ago, with a really good buddy of mine, Mike Shotton. And it was one of them songs. I recently had gone through a divorce prior to that, and I was kind of in a spot where we were still trying to figure out why it failed and all that kind of thing. And it was one of them things that after me and my ex-wife had, you know, talked over 3 years after we split, it's kind of a weird scenario. We were together for 14 years. We split up and we hadn't talked to each other for three. And then we finally touched base again and just, you know, became good friends and figured out a bunch of reasons that, you know, were kind of beyond our control why we ended up splitting up and whatnot. And this song was a derivative of that conversation that we had over X amount of months as when we were trying to figure out and put closure to actually what happened. So, you know, the first verse is kind of my perspective, the second verse is her perspective, and it all kind of became intertwined in the middle. And, you know, I'm real happy with the way this song, you know, turned out. It's to me, I think it's a really, really great story. And it's funny because a lot of people that have listened to it, they, you know, there's two comments that usually come to mind, or they will say to me, it's like, I can totally relate to this. You know, I've gone through it myself. Or the second comment has generally been, I want to be the girl in that song that you're singing this to. And when somebody says that to you as a songwriter, you go, okay, you know you've got something pretty cool there when somebody says that to you. So, yeah, this is I'll Be Your Everything, and this is how it ended up, yeah.
This is great. This is Blind River, I'll Be Your Everything. I'm speaking with Kevin Bushy here on In the Country.
I'll be
Blind River, I'll be your everything here on In the Country. Their website is blindriverband.ca, and the members are Kevin Bushy, Kirk Bernard, and Steve Petrie. I'm speaking with Kevin today. Great song there, Kevin, and so interesting to know that it came from such a real life experience.
Yeah, it was. To me, it was kind of therapeutic in a way, and I think that some of the best songs that have ever been written, right across the board, have all come with, you know, or come from some form of a lifelong experience, for sure. Especially
in country. Yeah, exactly, and it becomes therapy for you as the writer and singer, and then all the listeners out there get a chance to have it work in their lives.
Absolutely, and it's if somebody can relate to it, I mean, that's, you know, it's a great thing. But I think that, you know, from our end or my end as a songwriter or as a wannabe songwriter or aspiring songwriter, I guess you could say, it's just, it just becomes a very cool learning curve that, you know, you're able to do something like this, and you start something from the beginning, and it starts with an idea or a thought, and then it just morphs into this end result being a full-on song that people can relate to. And that's you can't buy that. I mean, that's one of the most gratifying things that anybody could ever say to you, for sure.
For sure. Now, when is the CD, when are you expecting it to be available out there for people to pick up and purchase?
We're hoping to have it done by the middle of July, and which is probably going to be towards the end of July now. Our beloved famed producer had a little bit of a mishap the other day and broke his ankle.
Ooh.
So it'll all depend on what happens. But I'm going to say it'll be done and in stores and ready to go by August, at the very least. It'll be August for sure.
Perfect. Well, Kevin, it's been a pleasure spending this time and getting to hear the songs and to know how well Ready, Set, Summer is doing at radio. Been a real pleasure, and wish you all the best as the CD gets ready to hit stores and online.
Thanks, Dave. We certainly appreciate your support, and thanks for this today. We definitely really appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure. My guest today has been Kevin Bushy from the Ontario country group called Blind River. And again, you can head to blindriverband.ca and learn a lot more about them. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.